plastic bag.
Drifting through the wind, wanting to start again. Do you ever feel this so paper thin? Like a house of cards, one blow from caving in. Do you ever feel already buried deep? 6 feet under screens and no one seems to hear a thing. Do you know that there's still a chance for you? Cause there's a spark in you. You just gotta ignite the light and let it shine. Just own the night like the 4th of July. Cause baby, you're a firework. Come on, show them what you work. Make them go as you shoot across the sky.
Just bite me, Ashley.
I love that. I think that's so cute. Yeah,
darlings. My daughters suck. And you know what, Superman? You can keep that on so everybody knows that my daughters suck.
Oh, whatever.
Hello.
How you sound?
Hello, my darlings. Welcome to Sit a Spell. I am your host, Lisa Lee. It is August 1st, and it is a glorious day. It is bright and sunny and beautiful, and it is Lammas. Today is a holiday. It is a great day. Oh, and on top of Lammas, it is also a full moon. So it's a big, big day. Unfortunately, I'm not going to give you any spells, because like I told you last week, we are still in a retrograde. And if you do spells, there's every chance that they could backfire on you. You know, anything that has to do with communication, which, by the way, I have really gotten off pretty much scot-free this time, this retrograde. I know I lost it for a second. This retrograde. But today, or not today, yesterday, all hell broke loose in my office. Oh my God, our internet went down. Our printer stopped working. Our phone system went down. Everybody was just
literally the Monday from hell.
It was. Oh. So everybody in my office was just bitching and complaining. And I'm sitting there just laughing. I don't see it, Josh.
It's right there, Mom.
Oh, God. Oh, shut up, Josh. He said, poor baby. So everybody in my office is like bickering and complaining and everything is just horrible. And I'm just sitting there going, I'm so happy I'm here. I just love my job. And everybody I work with is just wonderful. But they're just all quirky in their own way. And they're still, even to this day, they still take me to lunch every day. Today was just Arby's. But you know what? People say there's no such thing as a free lunch. I disagree. Because I'm getting
not free. That it's healthy or anything, but
how do you know I didn't have a salad?
You didn't.
I didn't. And I had a Coke. Still, free lunch. So, love my job. Still love my job. My boss is quirky as hell, but it just makes her interesting. And every day I go into work, I get hugs. And they're like, and today when I left, she told me that she was having such a rotten day when she went to work today and everything was going bad. And after working with me for the rest of the day, her day was brighter and she gave me a hug. And she's like, thank you for being part of my team.
Makes my heart smile.
Oh, she's just wonderful. Everybody I work with is so great. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, you know how I told you she had nicknamed me Twinkle Toes, yeah. And then it went to Twinkle and then Twink?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's different now. She named me something different today.
What?
And now everybody in the office, and even people that are not in the office that are working offsite, call and say, hey, guess what it is? Boom, boom.
What?
She nicknamed me freaking Boom Boom. And not for why you think. Yeah, because she said, I've got such a small voice and I need to make it boom when I'm talking to all these technology or all these. I know, what's with my words today? I have no idea. Yeah. So when I'm talking to all these technicians that are, I've only talked to one woman. Everybody else are men with some of the like most strongest accents I've ever heard. It's really, really funny. But apparently my voice, I need to be like stern and strong. And as she said, grab my balls.
Oh, yeah.
So because I don't have a strong grab my balls kind of voice. She nicknamed me Boom Boom. And she said, even if I do start grabbing my balls, that's going to be my nickname from now on. And if I don't like it, I can quit. And I'm like,
oh,
no, she was being funny.
She's going to be like, hey, Boom. And then it's going to be like, hey, B. And then people are going to be like, what is B short for?
Because Lisa Lee. Hello.
Yeah.
bitch. Oh, yeah, she does tend to shorten things. But she's just this little spitfire, yeah. Cracker fire. I just love her. I'm going to have her on the show. Well, because she's a strong woman. She started this company by herself in a field that is mostly men.
Mm-hmm.
So she grabbed her own balls.
15 years ago, wasn't it?
15 years ago.
And she's successful.
And she's so successful. I mean, I see the invoices that come in. Holy, grabbed her balls, man.
Because
mm-hmm. she's doing so great. I love it there. And I get a new office tomorrow. Yay. Whoa.
What?
Yep.
Oh.
No, it's not a bad thing.
Did you feng shui it?
No, not yet.
Oh.
First, we got to move all my stuff. It's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway. I digress. So, job's going great. What did we do in the last week? We had an investigation. On Friday night, my girls and I, well, two-thirds of my girls and I, went over to my sister's house, and I ate, I swear to God, at least 3 pounds of crab all by myself, along with a plethora of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Did we leave hungry? No.
No. did, though, buy store-bought red velvet cake, and it was horrendous. So, just so you know, do not do that.
Well, I've never had red velvet cake, so I was supposed to bring the dessert and the wine. So we brought her favorite big jug of, not jug, but it wasn't a jug.
That big jug of wine.
Because we're hillbillies, you know. Yeah. So we brought her the wine that she likes. And then I was in charge of dessert. And because I really don't know.
Dessert. Yeah.
Well, 'cause I don't like sweets.
Yeah, it's sad. I know, America.
Hey.
No, they need to know.
They don't need to know that. No. Okay, maybe they do. I like salty. Anyway, Josh just said, hillbillies prefer to be called sons of the soil. Sons of the soil. That's my best hillbilly look.
Oh, what?
No. Remember, I'm missing a tooth. Okay, you guys can't see this, but I'm missing a tooth in the back here. So if I smile really wide, I look like a hillbilly.
It's awesome.
It's so sexy. Yeehaw, y'all. Yeah, that was from Josh, a.k.a. Superman. So on Saturday, so that's what we did on Friday. Saturday, we had an investigation at my house. My house is supposed to be spook-free, and in my opinion, bathrooms should always be spook-free. But since I moved in here, you know, it was pretty quiet, and all of a sudden, things started going a little awry. So, I mean, I'd walk home, and all the cupboards in the top would be open. And I really thought that was Ashley.
No.
Teaching me a lesson because I don't lock my doors. Well, I do now. But I thought she was teaching me a lesson. I was like, well played, Ash. But no, we had spirits here. So we had an investigation here. And it went really well. I've only got two levels, the basement and the main area. And in the basement, as you know, I have some spider issues. So we did go down and we vacuumed up all of the new webs and got rid of everything. And I literally used an entire can of Glade citrus smell, because apparently spiders hate citrus. And I washed the floor and actually threw the bucket full of the scent citrus smelling crap on the floor, because apparently they just hate it. So did whatever I could. But in the long run, I just couldn't do the basement. So everybody else went down in the basement. And I stayed up here waiting for them, playing Bubble Witch on Facebook, which Ashley hates. And that was pretty much it. I can't think of anything else I did this weekend. Oh, Ron was here this weekend. Oh, and we had a slumber party on Sunday or on Saturday night. We had Teresa here and we had Nakomi here.
Both of whom you have met before on the show.
Yes. So you know them well. So, and then Ron was here. So we had a slumber party. We ordered pizza about 1:30 in the morning and we stayed up watching scary movies and finally went to bed about 5:30. So that was pretty much my weekend. So it is a full moon. I know that you cannot really do any spells right now. Next full moon, although Nakomi just told me that we're going to have a blue moon this year, or this month.
I don't even know what that means.
A blue moon is a second full moon in 1 month.
The Smurfs can come out.
And Heather just said the Smurfs can come out. I have not seen the movie.
She's so excited.
Heather's being adorbs. So normally what we would do on a full moon is we would, you know, write our wishes and put them under the full moon and light them up and cast them off to the moon. But because we're in a retrograde, I highly recommend that you don't do any spells. We are going to be coming out of this retrograde towards the end of August, thank God. And then we'll get back to doing all of our spells and all of our other stuff that we usually do. But until then, I just don't want to take a chance that anybody does any magic, because it literally could backfire and do the absolute opposite of what you're trying to do. So, but what you can do is you can grab a big bucket of water and put it out under the moon for the night and have the moon charge the water. Full moon water is great for spells. So you, at least you'll have your water ready for when you can finally get back to magic. And so,
can that cleanse stones too?
Yes, I can cleanse stones. I can cleanse everything. It's pretty cool. And today we are in Lammas. It is a holiday. High holiday. The hot days of August are upon us. Much of the earth is dry and parched, but we still know that the bright reds and yellows of the harvest season are just around the corner. I know, yay, huh? Apples are just beginning to ripen in the trees. Our summer vegetables have been picked, and corn is tall and green and waiting for us to come to gather the bounty of the crop field. So now is the time to begin reaping what we have sown and gathering up the first harvest of the grain, wheat, oats, and more. Josh is trying to get a hold of me. What else? You know what else? Josh just said, you know what else can cleanse you? By the way, Josh is Superman, and he is my absolutely amazing producer. But he just said, you know what else can cleanse you? Prune juice. Yes, Josh, that is true. I find it, I don't think I've actually ever had prune juice.
Don't, it's nasty.
Yeah, I don't know. That's really not my thing. Anyway, it's the Feast of Bread. It's a feast of harvests of grain, wheats, and oats, and more. It's a great time to get together with your family and just honor each other. Some things that you can do. It's the Wiccan Wheel of the Year Festival of Lammas is celebrated on August 1st. So that's today. This is the traditional time for spells that focus on riches, prosperity, and appreciation for the blessings we have received, you know, so far this year. Remember though, kids, we are not practicing witchcraft right now because the spells will go awry. It will be ugly. There'll also be a full moon tonight. So that's two things. Damn it, we're in a retrograde. But this is a good time to cleanse and charge all of your tools. So, you know, put them out under the moon because it's a huge thing. You can make an altar, set up your altar with gold and yellow candles and frankincense and oils and incense. The suitable flowers for Lammas are gladiolus, yarrow, sunflowers, and nasturtium, which I just did Ashley.
Wow! Earned to me right there. Jeez.
Oh, I earned that one. That's my own karma. Damn it. So, you know what you can do? You can prepare a feast. You can do ratatouille, which is sauteed eggplants, tomatoes, zucchini, red peppers, onions, and herbs. Do some cornbread, a salad of mixed greens, and serve it with a light red wine, like a Chianti. Have I ever had Chianti? Oh, I don't think I've had Chianti. And your feast with a walnut zucchini cake.
That all sounds so delicious.
It does. Let's do that tomorrow.
Really?
No, let's do that tonight.
Oh.
What am I thinking?
Yeah.
No, we'll do that tonight after the show. We'll go to the grocery store and we'll get everything. We'll have a big Lammas fest.
Yay!
Okay, that's the plan for tonight. So, happy Lammas, my darlings. Blessed Lammas. Ash, you've got some news for us.
I have some news.
She's so excited. Okay, Ashley's got some news for you. Josh, you're just... Thank you for the reminder. And Heather's laughing and teasing us. Okay, so this is all on you, Ash.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. The first one that I'm going to start off with is lame because it is solely geared around my mother. And it begins... King.com CEO Ricardo Zacconi explains why the future of social gaming is multi-screen. With more consumers gaming across multiple devices, including in their own homes, casual game companies are charging the way to develop and release games. One of the leading casual social games company, King.com, recently launched a mobile version of its popular game, drumroll please, Bubble Witch. No. God. Oh, you don't understand how obsessed she is with this game.
It's not obsessed. I just hate to lose.
Yeah, there we go. She hates to lose, so she's obsessed. The game, with over 4.5 million daily active users on Facebook, becomes the first Facebook game with progress to fully sync to mobile and tablet devices, keeping players' leaderboard scores, progress, and virtual goods seamless across both platforms. The rest of the article is obviously about Bubble Witch, but you get the gist of it.
Okay, so I had a theory before.
Oh, tell them your theory. It's magical.
Very nice word.
Yeah.
It's quite magical. So I had a theory, because I could not get past level 35. Okay, everybody's going to be like sleeping now. Mm-hmm. Snore, crickets. I couldn't get past level 35 for like 3 weeks. And I was like, you know what? I bet they have a program installed in that game where if you don't play for a few days and they think that you left, they'll actually let you pass that one when you come back, if you decide to come back. So I tested that theory, and I didn't play it for like 4 days, only because I was out of town and I was busy. But I was letting the witches know that I'm the one that's in charge, not them. So I came back, and I tested my theory. Still on level 35. Level fail.
So angry.
I was. I was like, oh, bitchy witches.
Oh, bitchy witches.
Well, I mean, come on.
I know, you were really angry.
I was.
All right, next story. Yeah, the game will probably become very more popular. All right. Next story.
Although, you know what?
Yes.
Back to Bubble Witch just for
a
second. Oh,
God. See?
Patty, my friend Patty. I'm bitching because I can't get past level 35. And she's like, really? Oh, my God. I'm so mad. I can't get past level 135. I'm like, oh, bite me. Will you do it for me?
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
Are you... Yeah, all right, then. Oh. All right, just so you know, this next news story I am super pumped about, because December 14th, 2012, do you know what comes out? The Hobbit. Yes, I am freaking out about it.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, woohoo. Well, last month at Comic-Con.
Although there's no cute people in there from what I saw.
Okay, Mom, it's about the story. It's not about the looks.
Well, no, you got to find somebody that you can be like, oh, cute. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Jackson teased fans with the idea that he was interested in pushing beyond his planned two-film adaptation of The Hobbit. Now, after weeks of intensive talks with Warner Brothers over how exactly they might be achieved, Jackson announced on his Facebook page that he is, in fact, going to turn The Hobbit into a trilogy. Woo! I'm so happy. People probably aren't happy. But, as Jackson has acknowledged, The Hobbit is a slender story compared with the far more sprawling and complex Lord of the Rings trilogy. But the director is drawing on not only the original book, but also on more than 100 pages of appendices. Tolkien later wrote that expanded on the world of The Hobbit. Jackson is obviously confident that all of this material taken together can sustain 3 films. And hinted in his announcement at what narrative elements will be incorporated to fill out the trilogy.
Hey, Josh, you're blinking. Go ahead and say what we're going to say.
No, it does not suck. You don't know.
I was making fun of Ash about how the Hobbit sucks, and the announcement just made me yawn.
I was excited, Josh. I'm so mad now. Next news story, I guess. All right. The next story, tattoos are the marks of people involved in satanic heathen practices, says Pat Robertson. All right, says a lot of people have, you know, tattoos everywhere. Let's begin. Amidst a wide range of questions submitted by viewers of Pat Robertson's Bring It On segment aired on the Christian Broadcasting Network today, a woman complained that her son's wish to get a tattoo is creating trouble in her marriage. Kathleen wrote, "My son wants to get a tattoo of heavenly clouds and doves with a man walking a path through the clouds to heaven on his shoulder. My husband believes that Leviticus 19:28 forbids getting tattoos. This is causing division in our marriage. While I personally do not find tattoos attractive, I also have never thought of them in a direct violation of God's will. Can you please help us with this?" Admitting that we're not under the law, Robertson took the husband's side. He has a dark view of tattoos, remarking Leviticus warns against marking our bodies and the tattoos. They invariably had to do with some heathen ritual that would be a symbol of some god, you know, the satanic thing.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm
sorry.
Oh. I just don't think people should mark their bodies. And yes, I think it's a violation of God's law. We are not under the law, but at the same time, this is a substrata of law that applies all the way through. And I think that the idea of defaming and marking your body, you know. Mom, what do you have to say?
Obviously, I'm going to hell then.
I know, me too. There's so many people.
I know, I want to be sleeve. Oh, Heather.
Heather would like a sleeve, I guess. Little did we know. She wants a whole armful. You're heathen.
That means you're going to hell. Yeah, with us.
Satanic rituals. Especially, it's so sad because that what that son wants is beautiful.
I know.
And heavenly.
But don't forget, look at the source. Pat Robertson, he was the one that was saying just ridiculous things about, wasn't it like 9/11? And he said just some, anytime there's like a major horrible thing, he has something to say that everybody's just like, what the hell?
Well,
my friend Sarah, she wants to get a tattoo, and her mom is very Christian. She feels like it's a sign of rebellion.
It's not just, you know,
like,
what
I rebel.
I can see how some people, you know, because a lot of people got those tramp stamps back in the 90s, or maybe not even the 90s, maybe it was just last year, I don't pay attention, but I can see when you're like 93 years old and you're taking your teeth out and you're having real races and stuff like that down the nursing home, how they'd be like, oh, she's got a tramp stamp. But you know what? Everybody that gets, unless it's like SpongeBob or something ridiculous like that, as far as I know, everybody takes very, I mean, it took me years before I got my first tattoo of just deciding if I really wanted to do that. I'm very proud of every single one of my tattoos except one. So, and one I will get replaced.
Yes. Oh, but, yes.
Yeah. Well, I'll get it covered somehow. But I'm very proud of all of my tattoos and they all have real meaning to me. And I'm sorry, I don't think that I'm going to go to hell because of the tattoos, right? Because I have tattoos.
Right. Also, if something like a tattoo is dividing your marriage, you need to focus on some other things because that is really sad.
You're right. You know what? I was focused on the tattoos. You're right. I didn't even think about that.
A division in my marriage. Sad.
Obviously they've got issues.
Yes. Next newsworthy item, which is kind of sad. I'm sorry to end on a sad note, but you can be angry about the tattoo one while you listen. Alleged witchcraft. Son, age 35, stabs mom to death in Aqua Ibom. What was that word? I don't know. All right. A 65-year-old woman, Madame Atim Akpan, at the weekend, met her death as she was stabbed to death by her son, Mr. Okan Akpan, for alleged wizardry. Nigerian Tribune gathered that Akpan, who hails from Ifa Aikat Okpan in Uyo local government area of Akwa.
You're welcome, listeners.
I butchered that terribly.
I'm sorry to laugh. It's a very...
In the early hours of Friday, July 27th, allegedly stabbed his mother to death, accusing her of being a witch and the cause of the family's misfortunes. An eyewitness told the Nigerian Tribune that Akpan had on the afternoon preceding that morning complained of stomach disorders, but later went out in the evening of the same day to prepare a corpse he had embalmed for burial on Friday. Oh, okay. The source, who lived in the same compound, number 6, Archibong Street, in Ifa Aikat Okpan, disclosed that Akpan later came back at about 1 a.m. on Friday morning and went to the mother's room to sleep, as he was the only one staying with her and also taking care of his needs. Let's see.
You know, I feel bad. Maybe I shouldn't give you big word ones that are, like, ridiculous, because they're always about something terrible. And it's hard for me to focus when you're butchering the word so bad. I'm laughing, and it actually should be really a solemn news story. So maybe I should either shut up and not laugh or not give you ones with ridiculously large words. Go ahead. Sorry.
The ending of the story says, wow. I just can't get over embalming of corpses just because that's not my thing. But, the Nigerian Tribune gathered at about 2 a.m. They heard Akpan crying and muttering words from the mother's room, saying that I am ready to die and I am going to do this for the sake of my elder sister. I will tell her not to cry, for this has happened. The source also said at daybreak, Akpan was seen outside with bloodstains all over his body, and when his mother's door was forced open, she was found lying dead in the pool of her blood, having been butchered with broken bottles which littered the floor of the room.
That is disgusting. You cannot take someone's life.
No, what gives you the right to take their life? It's, oh, maybe I shouldn't give you those kind of stories anymore. But I just want people to know that it's still happening out there, even in today's day.
I know. I think they do need to know. Knowledge is power.
I mean, it's not here in Western civilization, but it's still happening.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Anyway, thank you, Ash, for doing the news. Thank you, Heather, for chiming in about Smurfs. She just said, oh, damn.
That's
it.
What she'll be remembered for.
Heather and the Smurfs. Anyway, we're going to take a little break, have a little music, and then we are going to welcome Bobby Sullivan. So. I would like to welcome to my show, Bobby Sullivan, the amazing Bobby Sullivan. Bobby, how are you?
Hello, Lisa. Good to talk to you tonight.
You know, my daughters were just teasing me about how I say hello. That's really funny that you said it just that way.
Hello.
Hello. So, Bobby.
Yes.
You are a dear friend of mine. We've known each other for years and years and years. And I found out some pretty amazing stuff about you that I actually didn't know. Not that you were trying to hide it or anything, but I know that you've been into ghost hunting or I think you call it ghost busting, right?
Well, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Ghost hunting, ghost busting.
I don't really ghost hunt per se, like with paranormal teams, you know, I am focused really on helping people with problems, you know, that's kind of how I tend to focus my gifts.
And I wish a lot more people out there were like you.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk to you specifically tonight. Well, not just about the demonology, but about the other things that you do as well. But I have noticed, and a lot of other teams have been coming to me asking me questions about, have you noticed there's like kind of like this insurgence of darkness? Have you dealt with that?
Absolutely. The whole whole realm has changed really over the last probably year and a half. And I can only say that from my own experience, but I don't really market what I do, but I get a lot of referrals through people that I know and stuff like that. And, you know, I probably receive 3 to 5 phone calls a week with people having either ghost problems or spirit problems or things like that. And the level of those calls has increased and the intensity of what's going on has quadrupled in that year and a half. So, and I can explain that a little bit. Instead of, you know, people having experiences where, you know, they feel someone is watching them or there's a presence in the house or they may be being touched or something like that, a lot of these calls have gone to, I'm being severely scratched, fondled, I've got someone in my ear telling me to, you know, kill people and do bad things all day. I mean, it's just a whole nother level of activity that has just, it's been kind of mind-blowing, to say the least.
As soon as you said that thing about having somebody in your ear, Ashley and I both like jumped back and went, whoa, that really happens?
Oh, absolutely. And the part of the way that I work with people has had to change too, because what I've noticed is that where before I could go in and cross a spirit over and be done with it. Well, now when there's personal attachments going on, when there's possession, when there's that type of thing going on, I have to spend a lot of time working with the people and helping them raise their vibration to sort of negate being a good host for that energy. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but they typically need to, any types, almost 100% of the time, these types of situations will occur in people that are having a very difficult time with self-love, self-worth, that type of thing. And so I do a lot of energy work. I do healing work. I do past life regression work. And I've had to kind of invoke all of those different things in working with people to help them get to a place where they can raise their vibration, where they can heal themselves. And typically when we do that, then we can pull the energy out, or we can keep the energy out. Because otherwise I'll come in, get rid of the energy, and it's back 2 days later.
So why is it happening now?
It's a really good question. I think that I think a lot of it has to do with the shift that's going on, and I don't have a scientific answer for you, but the energy here is changing pretty rapidly, and I think a lot of us are being forced into a place where we're dealing with our stuff, you know, with our emotional baggage, with the stuff, you know, with our self-worth, with all of that stuff. And this is just a part of it. So in a lot of ways, sometimes these entities are tools for us to get to where we need to get to.
So how do you protect yourself from something like that?
You mean me personally?
You and me? Just in general, how does one go about protecting themselves from something like this?
Well, you know, I think ultimately the best protection is to mind your own vibration. You know what I mean? Because entities are not going to be attracted to somebody that's living in a high vibrational place. You know what I mean?
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Talk to me like I'm five.
Okay, so...
as far as the vibration and all that, I mean, can you explain that?
Yeah. Okay. So, if we keep somewhat of an emotional energy, we have an emotional energy going, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that's based on kind of our overall happiness. It can be based on, you know, the place that our mental energy, our physical energy, our emotional energy, our spiritual energy is at any given time. And so if we're somebody that is caught up on the idea of not loving ourselves, of not taking care of ourselves physically, mentally, emotionally, of being down on ourselves, of, you know, of trying to get through a lot of things from our past lives, from our current life, you know, let's say you grew up with an abusive relationship. Well, typically that is going to come out in our current time, where we're dealing with the emotional ramifications of that abuse. And we usually are kind of living in a place where there is low self-worth. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
No, that makes perfect sense.
But so what I have to do is go back and help people kind of work through those ramifications of what the belief that they've created from those experiences, and we have to work on changing that belief about themselves. So if you were abused by a parent when you were growing up, you may have this mindset that, you know, that it's, you know, that abuse was your fault, that you're not worth anything because that's what you were told. That every time, you know, you try and do something right, you always fail. And there's beliefs that we've created on those loop tapes in our own systems that we have to be able to go in and change. And once we do that, the entities, the spirits don't have the desire to feed off of higher vibrational energy. So when we raise our vibration, it creates a lack of appetite for them, because most of them are feeding off of our low vibration. That's where they get their energy from.
How does someone raise their vibration?
It's a really good question. And I think it's a little different for everyone, but there's You know, you kind of have to break it down into that mental, emotional, physical, spiritual piece. Okay, so let's look at physical. You are what you eat. So if you're putting crap into your body, you're typically yielding a lower vibration out. You know what I mean? If you have food sensitivities and you're allergic to gluten and you're eating that gluten, it's going to bring your physical energy down. Emotional energy. So if you are somebody that's super negative, if you are with the physical part, the stuff you put in your body is, you know, you are what you eat. So if you're eating low vibrational stuff, it's going to show up.
Is licorice count in that? Because I'm eating licorice right now.
Licorice is good for you all the way around. I'm giving two thumbs up on licorice. Awesome. But, you know, the mental part of that fits in, the emotional part, the spiritual part, all of it makes up your energy, you know, and it's a combined vibration that type of entity will look for.
Now, this is a strange question, but can people that are angry, can they send negative energy? I know that they can send negative energy, but can they send like manifestations of darkness or, you know what I mean?
I have like dealt with certain cases where people were being bombarded sort of with negativity. To what extent really depends on the person and sort of the darkness of that person. It can happen. And you need to, you know, if you have that going on, you need to protect yourself from it. And the best protection for yourself in doing that is a high vibration.
So no more licorice.
No, I wouldn't focus as much on the physical piece. I think it's more of the emotional piece.
Yes, I know. I was thinking. So have you seen a lot of demonic activity or lower vibrational entities in the last, I don't know. All I know is I've been getting a lot of calls. As you know, I investigate as well. This show is not about paranormal investigating,
mm-hmm.
but you know, you've got such a wide range of talents. And like I said, people have been coming to me saying, this is going on, this is going on, this is going on. And it all seems really, really dark.
Yeah. It's out of hand. I'm working on a very specific case right now. And I think I don't know when we were together last week, if I showed you the pictures, but it's a woman who is being scratched, like not only scratched, but burned. And there's words being scratched into her back. There was a dagger, like a picture of a dagger, you know, scratched into her back.
Oh my God.
It is by far the worst that I've ever seen. And I've been working with her for about 6 months and we were able to stop the attacks. They've been going on for a year and a half, I think. And actually I got kind of the call from one of your old investigative teams. They had called me in to kind of work on it, and they had a bunch of different people come in and try and help her. And that's when I got kind of the guidance from my guides to take a different approach. And I started working with her on her vibration piece and have been able to really help her. So that's been kind of a cool deal. I've also run into a lot of people, and this is kind of a weird topic, but that are actually being raped by entities as well. And I don't talk about it a lot, but it's important to talk about because the people that it's happening to think that they are crazy, you know what I mean? Until they finally find someone that understands what they've been going through. So it's an important thing to bring up, but it does happen quite a bit.
So what do you do to help them? That's horrifying and so frightening.
It is horrifying, and typically every case is a little bit different. You have to, when I approach an entity, you have to sort of dig down on what's going on, because it's no different than somebody coming in off the street. You know, there's a relationship typically happening there of some sort, and you have to sort of break that down. You have to find out what is in between the people, what's keeping that entity here. Is there an attachment? Is there a block? Is there a fear that's keeping them from crossing over? Is there another, demonic piece to it? I've also run into a lot of cases where it's not just one soul. It is numerous souls that have kind of combined their energy to create what I guess you would call a poltergeist or a more powerful energy, you know, almost a consciousness. There's a lot of different ways to kind of look at it and see different things, but it's creepy, you know, and my heart goes out to the people that are going through it. It's not a pleasant experience at all.
I can't even imagine how terrifying that would be and how vulnerable you would be, because it's one thing to fight something that you can see but not something that you can't. That just makes it scarier.
Well, and the fact that there's some sort of sexual aspect to it makes it even creepier. You know, it's one thing to get tapped on the shoulder, but it's another thing to get tapped it's not a pretty thing. But, you know, in general, I think most people that I've worked with have been able to help. And a lot of times it's a lot of work of the people themselves. They're the ones that have to do the work. And I have run into a couple cases of people I haven't been able to help, you know, and I don't know if that's because of me or because of them or something else. But it does happen. So it's a crazy world out there right now, Elise.
And that's all because the veil is thinning so fast?
I can't answer that specifically, but I think if I were to take a educated guess, I think that's part of it.
It's just, we live in such a crazy world right now.
Yeah.
And Bobby, that is not the only thing you do. What else do you do? Because you are so well-rounded. You've got so many facets to you. What else do you do?
I everything I do is kind of based around energy. So I do past life regression work, which is kind of that ability to use a very light form of hypnosis, but to help people go back into past lives and find out whatever they need to find out. Most of the time, it's like if you have a repeating pattern going on in your life, that is usually rooted in a past life. So what we can do is go back to that past life, find out what the root of that that situation is, and usually create some change and healing in that past life, which carries forward into this life. And it's a pretty cool process.
No, you and I just talked about that last week, and I just found that fascinating. And it made so many things in my life. I was like, oh, that totally makes sense now.
Yeah, it is neat. Well, I'm excited for you to try it sometime, because it's an incredible experience for people that can get there. And not everyone gets there. You know, I would say probably 90% of the people are able to do it. Some people block that experience. It's kind of like, you know, the same thing with hypnosis. Some people just won't go under, you know, and yeah. If you've experienced, you know, emotional abuse or different things in your life, sometimes it's kind of a protection thing where you don't let people get too close, you know.
Nope, makes perfect sense.
So I have a aura camera, which I take pictures of people's auras or images of their auras that I do.
It's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun thing. It's just a neat way for people to see their energy and to, it starts kind of a bigger conversation. And I do readings kind of based off the photos and stuff like that. I do a lot of energy work, a lot of healing work, and usually combined a lot of my services kind of depending on what's going on. I do a lot of workshops all over the country. And I also do a radio show of my own that you were on last week. So, and that's on, it's for Fate Magazine, which is a 63-year-old publication.
Isn't that the oldest magazine that deals with like the paranormal in general?
I would guess so, because it's been around forever.
That it is. It's like the premier, the oldest, like the, it's, I've read it a bazillion times, and it's absolutely fascinating. So, Bobby, if people want to get a hold of you and they want your services, how do they do that?
Well, you can find me on my website, which is BobbyOSullivan.com, and all my contact info is on there. I'm also on Echo Bodine's referral page. For those of you who know who Echo is, she's kind of a world famous psychic and healer. She was also my mentor and partner for a number of years. That was kind of one of the ways that I learned a lot about what I do.
Echo's awesome. Yeah. Yep.
And or you can call Lisa and she'll get you in touch with me.
Yes, help me out.
Or tune into to our radio show, which is on the Para X Radio Network, PARA-X.com, on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock Central.
I thoroughly enjoy your shows, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on our show. I let everybody know last week that you were going to be here, and I got so many emails that were like, "Oh my God, we're going to have Bobby O'Sullivan on the show!" So you are people are very excited that you're going to be here tonight.
Awesome. Thanks, Lise.
All right. You have a great night, and thank you so much for coming on the show. I just adore you, my dear friend.
Talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new day, and I'm feeling good.
Much for joining me tonight. Tonight was really informative and fascinating. Bobby is phenomenal. Absolutely. Please go check out his website. My website is still down as my branders are still creating the new me. So, but if you want to, you can still check out empoweringthedivine.com. Otherwise, you can find me on Facebook. I want to thank you. I want to tell you to please remember to take back your light. I will see you next Wednesday, same time, same place. And I'm going to have another amazing guest for you. So in the meantime, my darlings, you are the most amazing and wonderful people. And remember, you are perfect just the way you are. All right. Bye, my darlings.
Your head can't rule your heart, a feeling so hurt.